Chapter 37. Saturday. Sarah needed a psychic. With all its powers, she wondered why the Witchblade wouldn't pitch in. There were limits to its powers. It certainly didn't do readings, or contact spirits from the netherworld. Sarah phoned Brooklyn Vice, spoke to a bunco expert named Palmer, and it was Palmer who told her about the witch lady Estrella who lived down by the tracks. After leaving Joe's house, Sarah headed for the switching yard that cut Brooklyn off from the waterfront at Map Street, using her badge to get by security at the freight loading gate. A squat black security guard gripping the Daily News in a khaki Blaine's uniform with Hawkins on the tag accosted her as she chained her bike to the hurricane fence surrounding a switching station. "What do you think you're doing?" she flashed the badge. The guard shook the newspaper at her. "I know you. You're the freak detective. That vampire cult? That's me, Mr. Hawkins," she said with a somewhat fatigued smile. "And that wasn't an actual cult, just one idiot with a webpage and delusions of grandeur. Right now I'm looking for Estrella. Shoulda figured. You want the witch? She's down there a quarter mile in an old switching shack surrounded by hex signs, next to the Con Ed box. She's hard to miss. What do you want with her? We always figured she was the bunk, but we let her stay cause she discourages taggers. Scares em shitless. Thank you, Mr. Hawkins. Anything I can do, here I am." Sarah set off through the freight yard, walking sometimes on the dull nickel-colored rails, sometimes on cinders, sometimes on ties, in and around boxcars on sidings, occasionally losing sight of the skyline. The switching yard was a maze. Most of the sidelined boxcars were covered with graffiti, Estrella notwithstanding. Sarah recognized a dozen different gang monikers, including Los Romeros and Los Tecolotes. Eventually, she emerged from the thicket onto a dusty plain at one end of which sat the corrugated steel shack, roof draped with fishnets into which the owner had inserted various fetishistic objects, including Barbie and G.I. Joe dolls, green rolling rock bottles, faded lotto tickets, cracked CDs, and what might have been chicken bones. There was no graffiti on the switching station. A big old Tom was sunning itself on a concrete block as Sarah approached. It watched her with baleful yellow eyes and twitching tail, and when she drew abreast, let out a yowl that cut through the hum of the transfer station like a shotgun blast through fog. The cat leaped up and headed directly away from the hut as fast as its scabbed legs could scrabble. The front door was open. Incense drifted from within. The door faced northeast, so Sarah cast no shadow when she finally stood in the entrance, took off her sunglasses and let her eyes adjust to the gloom. The witch Estrella lay sprawled on mismatched cushions. Across the short floor, one hand clutching a bottle of Muscatel. The interior of the cabin smelled of cheap wine, body odor, sandalwood, and spice. Estrella was a dumpy woman, hard to tell her age, with a brown face and black hair streaked with gray. She might have been beautiful once, but age and hard living had left her ravaged as a gravel road. "Excuse me," Sarah said. "Estrella?" The old woman stirred, moaned. "Wah. Who want Estrella?" "Detective Pezzini, Manhattan Homicide South." The old woman's eyes popped open. She sat up, lips parted like an old purse left in the rain. An expression of terror descended like the night. "No," the witch croaked, working her legs as if to skitter backward. "Witch?" she shrieked. "You da witch." "No," Sarah said forcefully. "You're the witch. I'm the cop. What's the problem? Have you been reading the tabloids? Do you know me?" Estrella had backed herself up against an old wooden packing crate she used as a table, breathing hard, her mouth a slit. Sarah came into the room. Her eyes adjusted to the gloom, a couple of candles the only light. Like a filthy little Bedouin's den. She crouched in front of the witch and held up the little plastic figure of Yoda she'd taken from Bobby Chacone. "Do you recognize this?" The witch's eyes grew until yellowish whites showed all the way around. She reached frantically under some covers. Sarah dropped Yoda and went for her revolver, had it up and the hammer back when Estrella held up an ornate old cross draped with cheap plastic beads, colored pipe cleaners, and other ornaments. For an instant they faced each other, the two witches, each holding their shamanistic totem. Sarah lowered hers first. "You shouldn't make sudden moves like that in front of a cop. I might have shot you. What for you used a gun anyway? I know about you. I know you very powerful witch. I make no excuses. The girl come to me with a job. You would have done the same." Connections started sliding into place. Bobby Chacone's Yoda doll. The peculiar way in which the gangbangers had pursued her. The ugly little drawing she'd received in the mail. "Someone hired you to put a hex on me. Estrella nodded, still grasping the crucifix. You would have done the same. No, but that's not why I'm here. What you just told me suggests you had prior knowledge of an assault and did nothing. You also admit to helping the perpetrators. You're guilty of prior knowledge, being an accessory to assault on a police officer. I could arrest you. The yellow eyes contracted. Go ahead and arrest me then. No, that's not why I'm here. I need someone to help me conduct a séance. Estrella looked confused. Unconsciously, she reached for the muscatel. Huh? I need someone to help me contact a ghost, a spirit. Someone who's been dead a long time. Your name came up. That's why I'm here. I came to ask for your help in conducting a séance. While you're at it, you can tell me who set me up. A look of low cunning stole over the woman's ferret-like features. She was as transparent as glass. Sarah wondered how she'd managed to fool so many people. I do not contact a spirit world. I know someone who does. And at the same person who set me after you. Lupe Gutierrez.